I replaced all my Lululemon shorts with Bird Dogs. Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing, but fit way better. They actually look like khaki shorts, so I can wear them all day, for my morning hike or bike ride to the bar. I can't stop wearing them. Join over 1 million guys who discovered the best shorts on the market. Go to birddogs.com/MLB and enter promo code baseball for a free baseball hat with your order. That's birddogs.com/MLB. Promo code baseball for a free hat. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
No one is shooting hostages, not today. If you're waking up on your Friday morning, well, it's funky and it's a feel-good Freaky Friday. Welcome to your Friday, if that's you. If you're like me and you still feel like it's Thursday night, well, we'll get there. A few more hours and we will get there. Usher in what is the last official weekend of spring. Haha. We are on the cusp of summer, just days away, and many of you already have vacation plans, as we heard on the last edition of the show. Now we're moving forward, talking more and more about the boys of summer, but we continue to go round and round when it comes to this situation in Oakland. The latest, and it's moving quickly. Why? Because the Nevada legislature actually had a special, I think it was a week-long session, specifically to address the funding for the stadium that would house the A's on the Vegas Strip. The governor has now passed the bill into law that will guarantee the public funding that not only Major League Baseball, but the A's desire, nearly $400 million to build a stadium right smack dab in the middle of the heart of Vegas. And here is the statement from the governor of Nevada. I'm excited to officially sign this afternoon. This is an incredible opportunity to bring the A's to Nevada, and this legislation reflects months of negotiations between the team, the state, the county, and the league. Las Vegas's position as a global sports destination is only growing, and Major League Baseball is another tremendous asset for the city. So think about it from the Vegas perspective, from the Nevada perspective, of course. They want to keep that revenue stream flowing, and actually they want to create even greater revenue potential through the arm of pro sports. It's an influx of pro sports right now in Vegas. The Golden Knights, the Aces, the Raiders, and now the A's, or soon the A's. The stadium is expected to be completed in 2028, and as I was reading, the A's have a lease in the Coliseum through next season. Oh, it coincides with my contract. When the A's leave, maybe I will too. Oh, don't freak out. I don't know what's going to happen. But the A's, who have a lease through next year, would then move to their AAA facility. You know what that reminds me of? When the Chargers had to move out of San Diego and moved into a soccer stadium for, I don't know if it was one season or two, where they had to play with significantly fewer seats in a facility that's not built for football, nor, I mean, this one is built for baseball, but on a AAA level. It's a 10,000 seat park. And that's actually 30 minutes west, right? So we're talking about being close to Vegas, but not in Vegas. And this despite the fans' reverse boycott, and despite the fact that the mayor of Oakland says the city has a proposal in hand and would have been willing to move forward to build a new stadium, baseball stadium, for the A's.
There was a very concrete proposal under discussion, and Oakland had gone above and beyond to clear every single hurdle that the ownership put in front of us, including securing funding for infrastructure, providing an environmental review, and working with other agencies to finalize approvals. The reality in this is that the A's ownership had insisted on a multi-billion dollar 55-acre project that included a ballpark, residential, commercial, and retail. Whereas in Las Vegas, for whatever reason, they seem to be satisfied with only 9-acre lease ballpark on leased land. If they had a proposed a similar project in Oakland as what they have proposed in Las Vegas, I can guarantee you that Oakland would have the construction would have already began.
The only thing I can think of, and there's no reason that Shang Tao would lie, but clearly because it could be fact checked, that's on ABC 7 News in the Bay Area. I'm thinking that maybe the ownership of the A's is so desperate to get to Vegas, believing there's such incredible potential there, seeing what's happened with the Golden Knights and the Raiders and their brand new facility, that he was willing to cave on having more space and more land. Plus, he's on the Strip. It's already built up with hotels and casinos and retail space. It's already built up. You don't need to add that around your stadium if it's already there. If the infrastructure and the business and the not just the commercial but the corporate is already there, you don't need to build it. Or maybe he just was asking for a lot more in Oakland, believing that they would never give it to him, so he would then be able to move forward with a departure. Rob Manfred, I don't think I really believe him when he says he feels badly for the fans, but he's putting this firmly on the shoulders of the city of Oakland.
I feel sorry for the fans in Oakland. I do not like this outcome. I understand why they feel the way they do. I think that the real question is, what is it that Oakland was prepared to do? There is no Oakland offer. Okay, I mean, they never got to the point where they had a plan to build a stadium at any site. And it's not just John Fisher. You don't build a stadium based on the club activity alone. The community has to provide support. And, you know, at some point you come to the realization it's just not going to happen.
So that's the commissioner of Major League Baseball. And to be fair, baseball obviously wants a team in Vegas. Again, we're talking about grass is greener and we're talking about green with envy right now because they can see what's happening there with the Golden Knights and with the Raiders. And they want to tap into it as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It remains to be seen how much, and this is really subjective, right? It's opinion, how much blame belongs at the feet of the A's for not fielding a competitive team. I mean, the fans want to see stars. We all do as sports fans. We want to see stars. The Mets were there for a while, but the team isn't going to spend a lot of money to keep the best players. I mean, isn't this what people complain about with the Pirates? I know the Pirates have had a real good run. But baseball can't force owners to spend money and to invest money in the teams. And for most of the last, gosh, 2 decades, I mean, there have been a few playoff appearances in there, so I want to say completely. But a lot of times what happens is fans get attached, get excited about a star, only to see that young, talented star go elsewhere when ownership won't pay him to stick around. And they're the worst team in baseball this year, by far. And I'm sure Oakland fans, at least some of them, feel like they're getting pooped on because now all of Oakland's pro sports teams are departing. It's been a 5-year span where they've lost the Warriors. Now, at least the Warriors are still in the area, but Oakland and San Francisco are 2 distinct cities. So the Warriors, the Raiders, and now possibly the A's, unless there's some act of God or miracle that changes everything. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. All right, so we'll take a couple more calls here. We're also asking you who are the best coaches and managers in sport, the ones that make a difference immediately. We're getting some great responses on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. Let's talk to David, who's in San Francisco. David, what's your perspective?
Yeah, I think you've hit all the main points. Yeah, I think you've done an excellent job on the last segment right now.
Thank you, sir.
Explaining the differences. Yeah, you know, it's like when you talk about marketing and social media. I've been living in the area for 50 years, and I've gone to A's games when you know, it's right off the BART line. It, mm-hmm. We were drawing 2.5, at almost close to 3 million at the same facility, you know, even if it was like, you know, in the mid-80s or early mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that the A's organization, you know, they tarped up half the seats. Of course, they caved into Al Davis with, you know, trying to build extra levels. But the if you put a winning product on the field, the fans are there. They're passionate. They drive all the way from Sacramento to Oakland to go see the A's.
Right. And, I mean, I agree with that. I think in the United States, we love winners. As sports fans, we are attracted to the shiny things, the shiny bling, the winners. We show up when teams win.
Right. And as I said, the facility, you know, people would still attend. They have concerts there.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's the product. You know, what you just said about a 10,000 seed stadium in the meantime, maybe, you know, the way he runs it is like a AAA club, and it would be, you know, they say poetic justice if in the end they don't even draw half that many. If people are rather go and spend their money in the casinos, they look for a return on their investment, you know,
right?
Or, you know, gambling and all that. So it's the glitz and glamour that this Fisher, he's a multi-billionaire, he's acting like a pauper, you know.
Yeah,
so that's all I have to say. It's sad, but you know, it's all, you can't believe marketing. You know, they say the same thing with San Francisco. Oh, it's a crime infested and people at Leo businesses are leaving. It's not. It's still a beautiful city. You know, you can pick any part of any city and, you know, denigrate.
Sure.
You know, the perception, you know, but it's the people, you know, it's the people that make a city great. And, you know, the fans are still great, mm-hmm. great. As the mayor of Oakland pointed out, you know, she made all of, you know, wonderful points, and you know, they were ready to build a ballpark and in the off by the port there, and that would, you know, bring to light, you know, could be like a sister city with San Francisco's ballpark.
Mm.
You know, I'm a Giants fan, yeah, and I love to go to that ballpark, even, you know. Even the people complain about parking and whatnot.
Well, we all do that, yes.
It's the view, if I can tweet, I don't tweet, I'm sorry, but if I send a link of to the KCBS call line or text mm-hmm. line, then you'll be able to see the view from there.
Oh, no, what's the name of the stadium now? It's not AT&T anymore, is it? What is it now?
It's
Oracle
Park.
Yeah, so it's on my bucket list because of McCovey Cove.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'll let you go. Thanks for your call.
Thank you, David. It's good to talk to you in San Francisco. And I think our caller a couple of minutes ago made a great point, too. These are Oakland sports fans, right? They showed up to watch the Warriors. That place was packed out every night. They would sell out all their home games when the Warriors were doing really well. They loved the product. They loved to be there. It was notorious around the NBA for the best atmosphere in the league. That's a lot of the same fans. It's not like there's a line and you can only be a basketball fan or only be a baseball fan. No, there are sports fans in Oakland. There are. And so I tend to agree with anyone who says, hey, how about put a winning product on the field? I don't have unlimited amount of money that I can spend on entertainment and luxury items. I only go to a couple games a year where I pay for tickets. And I want to go and I want to see a good game and I want to see a good product. I'm not going to spend my money and throw it away after something that I know is going to be a disappointment. So, they raise ticket prices too. I mean, I understand why fans wouldn't go when the team is this bad and when you feel like you don't have any superstars to cheer for. Leroy is in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Amy, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Thank you.
Great. So I'd like to talk a bit real quick about pioneer women in sports.
Oh, okay.
And my coach is Kim Mulkey.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing. Anywhere she goes, I mean, she'll make an impact. Yes.
Exactly. I mean, it's amazing what she's done. Too earlier, you spoke about the at Fenway Park, the new seats above Green Monster and all like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lady by the name of Jane Marie Smith is the one who designed that. And she actually designed Camden Yards.
Oh, neat.
Now, it's because of Jane Marie Smith that there's a warehouse in Camden Yards. When they first bought the property, the first thing they wanted to do was knock the warehouse down. And Jane Marie says, no, we're going to build this into the ballpark. And they all thought she was nuts. And look at it now.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean,
and now she's with the Dodgers now. She's out there working in L.A. with the Dodgers.
Mm. Incredible.
And the other one, real quick, is Camden Yards. A girl went in, Nicole Sherry. Have you ever heard of her?
I don't think
so. She's the head groundskeeper, Camden Yards. She was the first woman groundskeeper in MLB and NFL to take care of a property.
Amazing.
And she's been doing it like 15 years now and does a fabulous job. And my fourth one is you.
Oh.
I listen to you every night on the radio. I love your enthusiasm. I love your questionnaires. And you're just very knowledgeable about sports, which is great to hear. And, you know, I appreciate you and you and JR every night.
Thank you.
I'm driving all night long. I got you both.
Gotcha.
So
awesome.
Just want to throw those couple things out there. I appreciate women. I appreciate women in sports. And, you know, good luck to you. I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you, Leroy. We're glad to keep you company. Appreciate that so much, your kind words. And it's neat to hear about some of the other women who are involved in various other layers and levels of pro sports, right? I remember during the pandemic, we were talking about the fact that, that everything in sports was shut down. And fans would say to me, oh, who cares? It doesn't matter. Why would we play sports right now? And even to go to the great lengths of saying, hey, I don't miss them that much. Other things matter. And I would agree with you that there are far more important elements to life than sports. But what I kept saying over and over, the reason sports need to return is not so much for our entertainment. We'll find other reasons to, you know, to be amused. We'll find other ways to be entertained. What matters is that pro sports employ millions and millions of people in ways that you might not even think. And so here we are talking to a listener who mentions groundskeeping and ground crews. And that's the case in every single stadium and venue where they play sports. But also the marketing teams and the front office staff and even the group of people who does stats now, right? Whether it's volunteers who work in the stadium on game days, whether it's the vendors who rely on game days to be able to sell food or memorabilia, whether it's parking attendants, and then obviously everyone is employed by the team itself. But yeah, pro sports is a major business, and not just for the people who play or the people who coach. It's a major business because it spawns business for so many other industries. That's why Super Bowls are in, you know, they're in high demand, obviously, or championships, or even to host a city where, or to host a venue for March Madness and to be a pod. It's because when sports, exciting sports, sports that have to do with playoffs and championships, usually, but I mean, you could say the same thing about a U.S. Open, right? There's a reason why these sporting events are coveted, and it's because of the revenue they bring with them, but also the business that they generate for the other industries in the area. So thank you to Leroy for that phone call. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too, we're glad to have you with us. Who are the coaches and managers who immediately make an impact, the best in any sport? Coming up, we'll get back to your calls, 855-212-4227. Shohei Ohtani with a fantastic, I mean, fire performance against the Rangers yet again, and he's on some kind of a torrid pace for the month of June. And we do have to get to the U.S. Open. I can't believe we're in the middle of our third hour and I haven't even talked about the U.S. Open yet. You guys are keeping me busy tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Shohei swinging and driving a ball deep out into left center, and that one lands in the second deck. Ohtani has hit another home run in this series. Another two-run homer. The Angels add on And the Angels now have a 5-2 lead.
Pretty much everyone standing here in the ballpark. Bases loaded, two men out. 0-2 the count. The pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out on an elevated fastball. So Webb comes in to close it out here for the Angels, who take 3 out of 4 in this series and hold on to defeat the Rangers tonight by the final score of 5-3.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Shohei Ohtani is surging, and that means the Angels are surging as well. First, the Angels Radio Network with Ohtani's Major League tying 22nd home run. I believe he's tied with Pete Alonso, though Pete is currently on the IL. So Ohtani has the chance to surge ahead in that race. By the way, if you're keeping score at home, his fourth home run in the Rangers series. So they played 4 games. He had 4 home runs. And his 10th homer in the last 16 games. He also has, I know I'm bombarding you with numbers, nerd alert! He also has 23 hits in the month of June. 23 hits in the month of June. It was June 15th last night. And he's already got 23 hits. By the way, he pitched two through 99 pitches, allowed 2 runs through his 6 innings. And so it was his win. He was already out of the game, but the Angels surged in the top of the next inning, I guess. So he was still the pitcher of record, even though he was done. And ends up getting the win. Shohei Ohtani. Don't know if he stays with the Angels, but man, I am rooting for them so hard to get into the playoffs because that's where he is right now. I really hope they don't trade him at the deadline. It's so much fun to see him and Mike Trout and the others win with that ridiculous helmet that they put on every time they have a home run. Actually, I think it was Chad Wallach who hit the first home run last night. It wasn't Shohei, and he was the one who was wearing the helmet, that crazy Viking-type helmet in the dugout. I'm sure there's a story there. I just haven't looked it up yet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. How about this? In addition to taking 3 of 4 games against the first place Rangers, the Angels also have won 9 of their last 11.
That's a really good team over there. I mean, a really good record. You guys see it, but you know they're talented. They're well coached. They got a great manager. I know him fairly decently. That's a really good team. So. Significance of it, I think we got a lot of guys believing in that room, and that's a big part of it.
Well, it's significant enough that I'm writing a CBS Sports Minute about Shohei and the Angels. His pitching line was sufficient enough because there was offense. It doesn't always work that way for the Angels, but yeah, Nevin will never stop raving about Shohei.
Threw the ball great. I talk about his hitting, too. Yeah. That was nice. I told him, you are tired, huh, right? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, the other two went in the upper deck. You couldn't get the upper deck this time. No, just an unreal series for, you know, neat to see him on a big stage. I mean, you know, what these games were meant for, you know, a lot of us here. Nice to see him on a big stage do stuff like that.
So Phil Nevin, manager of the Angels, certainly recognizes that this is critical against the first-place team. And, yeah, they're within 4.5 games now of the Rangers in the AL West standings with the Astros sandwiched in between. Rangers taking a bit of a step back here. They've dropped, 4 of 5, I believe, and 3 of those coming against the Angels. But Shohei, he's the key. I really want the Angels to get to the playoffs for that reason so that we can see Shohei on the big stage, kind of like the World Baseball Classic, which I know was an exhibition, but it was pretty cool to watch him in that setting, especially in his comfort zone, right, with fellow Japanese players. When Phil Devin says, I told him, or I said this to him, I wonder, does he say it in English? We know Shohei understands English. We do. He just doesn't prefer to speak to the media in English, which is why he always has his interpreter with him. But I do wonder if he speaks to his teammates and his manager in English.
I did think that too when I heard that. You think he knows a couple like phrases in Japanese for like quick conversation?
I wouldn't be surprised if Nevin had learned some or his teammates had learned some. But again, we know that Shohei can speak English because it goes back a few years, but there's a speech that he gave that was entirely in English. Now, granted, he probably had it translated and he practiced, but he certainly knows English. He's not a guy who is completely devoid of any English skills. So, I don't know.
I hate what he said, but I hate that he had to say Phil Nevin at the end there, how I like not to see Ohtani do this on this big stage. It's June 15th against the Rangers in a game that means absolutely nothing.
Mean nothing for the Angels. Well, usually by this time they're tanking.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's mid-June. It's not even the playoff. It's not even the All-Star break yet. And this is the biggest stage Ohtani has played on in an Angels uniform. Like really? That's a problem. That's the problem.
That is a problem. They haven't made the playoffs since 2014. And by the way, don't get me wrong there. I wasn't saying that they usually are tanking as in the sports use of the word tanking. I just mean usually by this time they're falling off a cliff. And they did. They fell below 500, but his incredible June has pulled them out of that slump. And now look where they are, headed in the right direction. All right, let's take this call with Alan in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy. It's great to be on the line with you.
Hi, Alan.
Tampa Bay Rays, you're avoiding the issue. Tampa Bay Rays are 50-22, and they're averaging 17,806. So reality has to set in with them as well as Oakland. That's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. Live with it. And they're going to have to move, too. They're going to have to either build a new stadium or they're going to have to move elsewhere because it's certainly not working there. And they're the on top of the heap. They're 50-22. They're the best team in the entire league. So it's, you know, look at Detroit. Detroit is 28-39, and they're outdrawing them. They're out, they're averaging over 18,000. And Washington Nationals, they're just absolutely horrible. And they're averaging 21,496. So you know, it's winning is not it's just not it. It's not everything. You know, it's they're just not a they're not a baseball town. From the grassroots up, they're just not a baseball town for whatever reason. You know, the location of the stadium, whatever. You know, so winning is not it doesn't make that much of a difference. It depends what kind of town it is.
Well, it might not make that much of a difference in. Well, they're in St. Pete now in June, but it might in the playoffs. And also, I agree with you that it would be nice if there were more fans. I don't love Tropicana Field, but that doesn't necessarily apply to Oakland. I mean, there's a chance that I remember when they made the playoffs. You know, they were a good team with stars that the ballpark would have a lot more people in it.
In 2001 and 2002, they were fantastic. They won over 100 games that year, and attendance was somewhat better than it is right now, but only somewhat, though. There's a lot of reasons why they're. It's not just losing. There's a lot of other reasons why they're not attending either. You know, it's.
And would you venture? Would you venture a guess?
Stadium that belongs to the Dark Ages. So.
Meaning? So you think it's the stadium?
Yeah, the stadium and the location of the stadium, too. It's in a very remote area. I've been there twice, and it's in a very remote area. And it's cool at night. It's windy at night. It's not the most, not the greatest stadium in the world. Of course, Candlestick Park was absolutely horrible, too. And they weren't drawing well until they moved to a new stadium. Candlestick Park is probably the worst stadium in the entire universe. The way it was.
The whole universe. Wow.
Yeah, universe.
That's quite a statement.
I don't know what's going on in Mars or Jupiter or Saturn, but, you know.
All right. Well, I appreciate the input about the Rays, too. Let's see if it works then when they move to Vegas. Let's see if the Vegas fans fill the stadium, if they are also baseball crazy like they are hockey crazy.
And Cashman Field seats 9,300, and that's pretty standard for what Oakland is drawing right now. And I would move to Cashman Field because attendance is not going to get any better in Oakland, and Cashman Field will sell out if they move there.
Well, they have a lease, though. I highly doubt the city of Oakland's going to allow them to get out of the lease without paying. So they have a lease through next year.
Yeah.
After that, they'll move.
Always great being on the line with you, Amy. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Of course, Alan. Thank you for listening in Toronto. Have a great weekend. Jay just looked this up so we could have some perspective. And he says that on the occasion of the wild card game in 2019, that it was Rays A's at the Coliseum, and there were 54,000 people who attended that wild card game. That is awesome. Can you imagine? Now, most baseball stadiums don't have room for 54,000. The fact is, it's a football stadium, right? It's not a baseball stadium. And so to have 54,000 people there is a huge perk for one game.
And just looking at the attendance for the regular season in 2019 for the A's at the Coliseum, it was around 20,000, meaning
they
what you
winning.
Said, that if they win games, they come to the ballpark.
I mean, I think as fans, no matter what, in the United States, we're attracted to winners. We'll go if it's a product that we enjoy. And that year, they made the playoffs. They were a winning team. They had some stars. I could even go back and read the roster to you, read the lineup to you, but they had some stars. And so they have had some great success, and the fans have supported them. But I mean, I'm with the fans right now. There's no way that I would shell out money to go see the product that's on the field, not to mention put myself in a position where I'm spending money to hang out in a place like the Coliseum, if a lot of the stories are true. So I appreciate all the input. It's obviously very emotional and subjective, too. Coming up, I swear, the U.S. Open. I swear. In the meantime, we're asking you tonight, in light of a lot of these coach and manager storylines, like, for instance, Greg Berhalter returning to the U.S. men's national team in soccer. I think Bruce Bochy is making a major difference with the Rangers, one reason why they're in first place. Bruce Cassidy, first-year coach with the Golden Knights, helped them get over the hump and win their first Stanley Cup. Mike Malone, the management, the ownership stuck with him in Denver, and look, he delivered on his promise to win a title there. So I think there are coaches and managers who make a difference immediately. Doug Peterson in Jacksonville. I think D'Amico Ryans will be the same way. You all are weighing in with some of your coaches and managers who make an immediate impact, a difference the second they step on the property. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and our Facebook page. Happy Friday morning, if it's your Friday morning. Eek. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I got a good view from behind. Seeing here the flags picking up a little bit right to left. Is he going to use the slope?
No, this is pole. Played it safe. Good shot, but played it safe. Got it again. This time from the Barranca originally.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I was watching the U.S. Open on USA Network on Thursday afternoon, and it was fun to watch. In fact, right as I turned it on, I got the Rory McIlroy, was it Morikawa? No, I don't think it was Colin. It was Hideki Matsuyama, and then it was also Brooks Koepka. So that was the threesome that I was watching when I turned it on, and Phil Mickelson was on the course as well in the afternoon at LA Country Club. So it's kind of neat to be able to see some of these guys go out and navigate the U.S. Open. You hear a few of the shots, though, from earlier in the day. Ricky Fowler set an immediate benchmark. He went out and fired a record 62. Now, this is a guy who has still carried the title of best golfer never to win a major. Right, he's never won a major. He actually hasn't won on the PGA Tour in 4 years. And he's only got 3 wins to his credit overall in his pro career. I know that there are a lot of people who had really high hopes and exceedingly high expectations for Ricky when he turned pro. And he's come close. He's come very close. But hasn't been able to cash in, hasn't been able to capture the ultimate prize, which would be a major victory. So he goes out and he fires a 62, and then 30 minutes later, a couple of groups behind him, Xander Schauffele, also cards an 8 under 62. And for Xander, he had eight birdies, no bogeys. He was bogey free with 8 birdies. Here's the crazy part. This is the opposite of what the USGA wants for the US Open. The US Open wants narrow fairways that punish you if you land in the rough, even in the first cut of rough. So they want you to have to drive with precision, not just length. They really value being on the fairway. They also want the rough to be punishing, and then they want the greens to be super lightning fast so that your putting is extremely important. But that's not what happened. There were only two other rounds of 8-under in U.S. Open history before yesterday. 2017, Justin Thomas, and then going back to 1970s and Johnny Miller. Right now, Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele have the first round lead, the lead by just two strokes. And that is also worth noting. There are a ton of guys who are in red numbers, a ton of guys who were under par. I think it's exciting for Ricky. I hope he can carry it through. The entire golf world would be thrilled if he finally cashed in with a major win.
It was a great day. Got off to a nice start, making 3 on 10, and never really thought about a score or necessarily what I was trying to do out there. The first few days this week, I wasn't feeling very comfortable swing and wasn't making many putts or hitting very good putts. So continue to get working on the course as well as on the practice area. And finally, a couple things clicked a bit yesterday. And then it was more just go out, trust it, and let things happen.
It's Thursday. And Xander makes that point when he was asked about shooting a 62 in the opening round. He said, it's Thursday. But still, it's better to be on top than to be behind. And it is an opportunity. And that's something that I'm sure matters to Ricky. I think I read that the last time he was atop the leaderboard after the opening round, it was back in 2019, which was his last win.
It's nice to be back in a good position and back inside the top 50 in the world, and obviously want to continue to move forward and up. That was a long Thursday last year. I got some good work in, but nice to be actually out on course.
Actually, I'm going to take that back. I went back and looked it up just so that I could be accurate. He led the field in strokes gained via putting. Okay, so his was about putting. The last time he led a PGA Tour event in that category was the last time he won. So, pardon me, not the last time he led after one round. But he didn't even qualify for the U.S. Open the last 2 years. That's the part that is crazy. This is Ricky Fowler, for heaven's sakes. He's been one of the top Americans. He's been on the Ryder Cup teams. He didn't qualify for the Masters this year, so he's been missing out on majors. But his putter was critical for him on Thursday. And he actually changed equipment going back a few months ago. And it's mattered. So even though he wasn't at the Masters, of the events he's played this year, he's had a handful of top 10 finishes. So that's why he's back in the top 50 in the world. He's playing great. But he admits, I wasn't sure I was going to have a start anything like this.
During warm-up, I actually didn't have that great of a warm-up. It was fine, but I knew that the stuff that I worked on yesterday, both swing and putting, putting was great. Range was so-so, which a lot of times you don't want to go stripe it on the range. That's just a bad sign.
So good for Ricky Fowler. Again, if he continues to lurk or remains atop the leaderboard, you will have a groundswell of support for him because he's been around for such a long time. It's been a roller coaster ride. He never quite realized his own expectations, much less the ones that were put on him when he turned pro. And it goes back now, gosh, I'd say almost 15 years that he turned pro. He's certainly recognizable. He's got a large fan base. And he was branded kind of one of those next young Americans who were going to take the tour by storm. I mean, I'd even put him in the same category as, say, Jordan Spieth or Justin Thomas, two guys who they're not exactly the same age, but these were among that young core group of Americans kind of in the wake of Tiger Woods departing in terms of him being an actual contender. I know he won the Masters a couple years ago, but Tiger Woods not being the same player anymore, and there were a lot of good young American golfers that were trying to fill that void, Dustin Johnson being another one. Actually, Dustin had his lowest opening rounds in a major on Thursday as well. So I'm telling you, the U.S. Open's not thrilled with how it looks and the numbers that are being posted. Xander Schauffele, he's another guy who's come really close to winning a major, but has not quite been able to press through. So he also was able to shoot a 62, and he sits there in a good spot with Ricky.
It's not really what you expect playing the U.S. Open, but monkey see, monkey do. Was just chasing Ricky up the leaderboard, so glad he was just in front of me.
So for Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele, it would be a first-time major win. For Ricky, though, especially, because he's come so close, because he hasn't won in 4 years on the tour, because he's got so many friends, he's very well-liked. As I say, he's been on rider teams in the past, and because he's trying to fight and scratch his way back, 10 birdies in the opening round, had a couple of bogeys, but ultimately a minus eight. And then a minus eight for Xander as well.
It was fine.
A couple of other numbers I think you should know, or names that I think you should know that are near the top with Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele. You've also got Rory McIlroy, who's three strokes back, so he's minus five. Bryson DeChambeau is minus three. He's five back. And then in addition to that, you've got Phil Mickelson hanging around. I enjoyed watching him. He's right now at minus one. But what a pace set by the two at the top of the leaderboard with the minus eights. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Prepare for a righteous reckoning in the new season of the HBO original series, The Righteous Gemstones. When the spoiled gemstone children finally get their wish to take control of the church, they discover leadership is harder than they imagined and that their extravagant lifestyle comes with a heavy price. Starring Danny McBride, John Goodman, Edie Patterson, and Adam Devine. Watch the all-new season of The Righteous Gemstones this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern on Max. Subscription required. Visit max.com for details.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Well, whether it be upcoming life changes or ongoing events that may be causing you unhappiness, California Psychics is here to help you along the way and provide the joy of certainty through the insights of their psychic advisors. Since 1995, California Psychics has been the place where millions of satisfied customers have connected with some of the most experienced psychics worldwide, advisors who possess outstanding psychic abilities. Whether you want to unlock a mystery, clear a path, or just boost your inner power, their psychics are here to help you in matters of love, relationships, money, career, and all the things that matter to you. Talk for just $1 a minute. Your reading will be accurate and confidential with one of our vetted psychics. Find the answers today. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com to learn more. If it's not the best reading you've ever had, it's free. That's CaliforniaPsychics.com to connect with a California psychic advisor today. We've all got a lot going on in our lives. Maybe you just want a little extra insight. One place to get it, CaliforniaPsychics.com. Connect with that California psychic advisor today. One more time, CaliforniaPsychics.com.